The following is a feature podcast from Crime Network, where we spell crime with a Y. Discover new shows and top charting mysteries, all in one place. But here is the twist. We don't just stick to crime. Take a break and listen to comedy as well. Crime Network, your ultimate destination for crime stories and a much-needed comedy break. Visit crimenetwork.com today. Crime with a Y.
You're listening to Drowning Verdict. Be sure to follow the podcast on your favorite listening platform. We don't want you to miss out on an important case or update. If you haven't already, pull the trigger and subscribe.
Now that he was named as the killer of the Gilgo Four, is he also the killer of the four women in Atlantic City over 15 years ago? So I'm talking about that next here on Drowning Verdict. This is Chip Mahoney. This is my true crime podcast, where I talk about fascinating cases just like this one, and I go more in depth with the case. So thanks a lot for joining me today. You might have found me on my TikTok or other social media, but if it led you over to the Crime Network, that's Crime with a Y, that's a good place to be. You can listen to all the episodes, story after story, even some of the biggest names as well, right on Crime Network, Crime with a Y. Otherwise, Drowning Verdict is featured on Spotify. You can find it wherever you get your favorite podcasts in the Podverse, the known universe where all that content swims and swims about. Well, I'm there to provide maybe a unique angle, a new idea, definitely a topic of convo to keep the conversation going on open and active cases, important cases, just like the one I got for you today. And I'm talking about the Atlantic City serial killer, the four women who were murdered in 2006. They were dumped behind an old motel in a drainage ditch, face down, with their heads pointed toward the east. Now, were they pointed on purpose to Gilgo Beach? We're going to talk about that, and I'm also going to try and link up a victim in the Gilgo case to maybe shine the light more on Atlantic City and find some reasons there. So that I think it's a pretty good link. It's not evidence, but it's just something to chew on. And if you have heard me before, and it wasn't just a drive-by, as I like to say, you're pulling the crossover SUV back around and dropping the clip on me, I do appreciate that. Know that I try to get bigger and better for you each and every time, often to give you a reason for being here. And I've got some pretty good reasons today. But Drowning Verdict is crime and commentary. If you like the narrative retelling of stories, check out Crime Network, where you can get my show and some other ones to discover and some big names as well, but you can just find the content you're looking for updated every day. And you can just kind of go from like small town crimes to different types of verticals and genres within the genre. And just bookmark it, come back for more. Crime Network curated a lot of content there for you. Link in the description. So I've talked about Rex Huerman for the last couple weeks, like so many other people, and the spotlight that has shone on the Gilgo case, the Gilgo Four. He's been charged with three of those murders. And recently there was a Jane Doe that had been unidentified for years that they finally ID'd the person who was killed, but haven't linked that to Rex yet. But is the Atlantic City serial killer, the Eastbound Strangler, somehow related to what went down at Gilgo Beach in and around that area, the stuff that they say Rex is responsible for? Well, the case has gone on since November of 2006. Four known sex workers who were strangled and dumped behind the old Golden Key Motel, long since demolished. And I wonder why they demolished the place. I mean, it's probably in a bad part of town, but were those victims killed inside that motel, and therefore you just kind of get rid of more evidence? I don't know, but they were dumped in a drainage ditch. They were 60 feet apart, 5 feet of water, no shoes, no socks, but otherwise they had their clothes on. Their heads were pointed toward the east. So a lot of planning, preparation, posing. I'm giving you some alliteration right now. But does it have something to do with what was discovered at Gilgo long ago, but in recent days discovered who was responsible for it, or at least involved, and was somebody else involved as well? Well, I've talked about that before, and I've got an idea about one of the victims in the Gilgo case and what that might mean for shining the spotlight on Atlantic City, because the spotlight has been on Rex Huerman, the guy who is on one side the architect and on the other side the suspected serial killer, the Shadow Man, there in Massapequa Park. But did he have some help? I've said that it's possible because of his sadistic nature, what he was known to be looking at online, and how damaging that can be. It's not your average crazy stuff online. It just goes to a new level and some dark corners of the internet. So he did a really good job of being one way, the persona, the architect in New York City, the guy who dressed pretty well, even though he's kind of described as being an ogre. He still dressed up and went to work and did that for a long time and was an architect at his own firm. So he kind of made a name for himself. But on the other side, he's a twisted, sadistic SK. At least that's what they're saying. And so in this episode today, did Rex have not just a partner in crime, but somebody that was sharing the twisted fantasy? And could that person be responsible for what went down in Atlantic City? Or was it Rex? I mean, they have said that Rex was there in Atlantic City, strippers and other people that worked in and around the area. Yeah, I know that guy. He's really big, likes to drink. Same guy. Maybe it's the same guy, but is it the same guy who killed those four? Well, in the Gilgo 4 case, there's a victim there who was really one of the main reasons why they were looking for a person to begin with, and then just found these other bodies, and that was Shannon Gilbert. That was May of 2010, and she was going out to visit a client in Oak Beach. She was a sex worker advertised on Craigslist, when you used to be able to do that, C-List, Backpage, supporting your local sex worker. I mean, that's how they built their businesses. And you used to be able to do that. Not so much anymore, but that's how it was. And she had a personal driver. She had a client in what I would say is an upscale place in Oak Beach. She knew what she was doing. I think she had some experience under her belt. And that's not a pun for the belt that was found there on the beachfront tying another victim. But I think she had some experience nonetheless. So there are reports on that day or that night that she was freaking out, that this woman was on drugs and she was going from house to house in that neighborhood and just was insane, totally freaked out, must have been on drugs. But she dialed 911. And on that call, she had said, "They are trying to kill me." She implied more than one person in her speech. And as an author, words mean a lot to me, and even one word can change the course of a story. So she said, "They are trying to kill me." There are some reports I've read where she says, "He's trying to kill me," but for the most part, "They are trying to kill me." And there are more than one person, or there is more than one person in the background. So there's two people there. Now, here's the thing that I don't believe has ever been discussed, And maybe it's something for you that you want to consider, and it's a reason to share it with somebody else. But I think this one is interesting, and it's really just in the back of my author mind. I don't think that Shannon makes that call in any other situation unless she is completely freaked out what these two guys just said to her. Because she's somebody that has experience under her belt, as I have said. And so she's met a lot of creepers. She's been in a lot of bad situations. She has a driver. She has a client. She knows what she's doing. And yet people think that she's on drugs. Well, I don't think she's on drugs. I just think that those two guys said something to her that scared the hell out of her. I think that they said in her presence what they were going to do to her and how she was going to end up. And she knew instantly that this is unlike anything that she's ever experienced. And those red flags and those things in the body and the mind that are just warning signals just went all off all at once and just scared her. So she says on that 911 call that I don't think she would have made otherwise in any other situation, but she says it on that call that they are trying to kill me, implying more than one killer. Well, if that in fact is true, and it did play out that way, and she wasn't on drugs, she wasn't high, she wasn't drunk, just being crazy, and that two guys had said, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to end up, you can't do anything about it, and it's like a horror movie, and she is forced to dial 911 that she wouldn't do in any other situation, then I do think it's safe to say that one of those people in the room with her, the people in the background, the guy in the background, one of them is Rex. And if that in fact is true, then there's another guy who is helping Rex, or at least involved in the fantasy. Because we know that Rex is likely a sexual sadist. And that's known because of what he has searched for online. It's not the average SK kind of stuff. How do I get rid of a body? What happens if I do this? It's very dark and it's very twisted. And in fact, if you do search that stuff and happen to find it, you go down such a rabbit hole, I don't think you can ever come back. And so for a guy who has a persona as a well-dressed architect for many years in New York City, his own firm, some pretty big clients, and on the other side, he's this dark, deviant individual, those are polar opposites. And so he's able to pull that off. So I'm saying that he's into the fantasy. He's into the deepest and darkest sadistic fantasies there are. And does that open the possibility of having another killer who shared that fantasy and that maybe he met them online? And maybe that person could be responsible for Atlantic City. Because I think the Gilgo 4 and the Atlantic City 4, I think they're kind of the same, but they're different. I mean, they're sex workers in that case as well. But they were posed, and it was very purposeful how that was done. I think at Gilgo, I think those bodies were dumped, but they were meant to be discovered rather than putting them in the ocean for the fish to take care of and never be found again. And then it just lends itself more to the mystery of what happened to these people. Well, I think they wanted the victims to be found, or Rex wanted the victims to be found because he liked following the story. He was searching for it all the time. He was talking to people about the case. All of that is known right now. But was there somebody else helping him and involved in the twisted fantasy? Because I don't think Rex goes down to Atlantic City and commits those murders because they're different. But I think that he could have been involved. If the guy is helping him at Gilgo, then that guy knows what Rex did. And if Rex goes down to Atlantic City and that guy commits the murders, the unknown man at this time, the unknown SK, then Rex has that dirt on him as well. So they kind of, it kind of covers each case. Rex does the stuff in his territory, and then the other territory, the unknown killer does that, but they're working with each other. There's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of planning. There is labor involved. It's hard to move bodies around and transport. It's just hard to do it by yourself. I mean, at that time, Rex was probably in his mid-40s. He's 59 years old today. So he was probably a little bit better shape, but still, it's a lot of bodies. It's a lot of work. And maybe in the fantasy, when somebody else knows about it, it's even more deviant. Because he's the kind of guy that wants those bodies to be found so he can follow the story and live that shadow life where it's just something that he knows that it's his secret, but it's his fantasy. And without those bodies being found, then how fun is that fantasy when nobody knows about it? Because those bodies could have been dumped in the sea and never to be found again. And people would say, well, they were in sex work. They just disappeared. They lived on the fringes of society. We don't know. We don't have a body. And they might have just gone to another state and they just don't want to be heard from. And that's a possibility. So if you don't have a body, you really can't say much other than that. But he put those bodies in his backyard, which is his territory. And it's possible that somebody else was helping him. Now, it's not like it hasn't happened before. I've talked about it before that there was a case back in the late 70s that they call the Hillside Strangler. And at the time they said it was a Hillside Strangler, but they later learned it was the Hillside Stranglers, plural. There was two guys doing the evil deeds, strangling young women, two cousins that were working with one another to do that work. Because one can't just do it by themselves. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of setup. And it is part of the fantasy. And there's other cases out there, of course. But in this case of what we know about Rex right now in Long Island and the spotlight on him and the Shadow Man coming more out into the light so we can see what's going on, will that spotlight go to Atlantic City? So if people say Rex could have done that, I say that, yeah, he could be involved, but I don't think he'd done it. I think that he might be involved, and I think that there's another killer because we have that phone call from Shannon. We have it, and the way that that whole scenario played out, I'm here to say that I don't think she makes that phone call in any other situation because if some guy, just one guy, is giving her a hard time or grabbing her or forcing her to do something, I don't think she makes that call to 911. I think 911 is the last number that anyone like her in that kind of work would ever call. But when they got together, those two strangers showed up and said what they were going to do and how they wanted to see the fear in her eyes and have her feel it, then she freaked out. And she was forced to make that call. She didn't have any other choice. Please help me. They are trying to kill me. Rex is one of those guys. Who's the other guy? Because if it's two guys, we know that Rex is one. And if there's another guy there, which I'm saying there's another guy there, then that guy's involved. That guy knows what Rex did. So does Rex know what the other guy did in Atlantic City? Eastbound and down. Face down the water, 5 feet of water, 60 feet apart, four victims all at once, heads pointed towards the east, no socks, no shoes, dumped behind a motel that was demolished in 2015. And I wonder if those women were killed inside of that building and it was demolished because of that. I don't know. It just kind of seems weird. But it's a marshy area back there. Gilgo has that marsh, which is kind of like being in a cornfield. You get into it, you can't see around it. People can definitely not see inside of it. So it covers you. It keeps the shadow man or the shadow men in the dark. But they want those bodies to be discovered because that's part of the fantasy. It's no fun unless the bodies are found because then you can read about it, you can think about it, and those trophies that you collect, maybe in the basement or other areas that the cops will find out, those are fun to go back to, especially for the sadists out there, because they are certainly out there. If you can search for it online and find it, then somebody who produced it is one. Rex was one. He wore the polo. He wore the khakis. He wore the sport coat. He went to his job working as the architect, having some really big clients out there. He knew how to work a room. He might have been 6'4", described as an ogre, described as the family guy, but he knew how to work the room and get clients. He knew how to work that persona. But he's the polar opposite. He's the guy who searches the dark corners of the internet that you should never go to, because if you go to them, you're going to go down a rabbit hole. But the people, I would say, who produce that content are like that. So they're out there. There are people like that. And I think that lends to the fantasy. Otherwise, you just get rid of the bodies and move on. If you're just into killing, you just do that. But that's why I think that in this case, we could find that in Atlantic City, what went down there is part of a twisted fantasy, and that Rex could be involved. There's an unknown killer, and maybe we'll find out who that is. Because if it is true that two people were in the background with Shannon and both of them were getting ready to be a part of her death, then one of them is Rex. He did that work in his own backyard. The other guy knows about it. And then Rex goes down to Atlantic City, and the other guy must do those murders for Rex to have dirt on that guy. So they are equal. And that's like a script for a movie. Maybe that movie's been made. What do you think about it? Does it make any sense? Do you think that it's ever been talked about that Shannon Gilbert would never make that call in any other situation because she knows how to handle herself? She's not just like a first timer. It sounds like she knew what she was doing. She advertised, she had a driver, she had a client. Seems to me that she got into a situation where these two guys showed up out of nowhere and then just started this evil, twisted game. And when one of them 6'4" and the guy's about 45 years old, he's probably still in pretty decent shape and rather imposing. And if you're around 5 foot tall, that guy could seem like a monster. And if there's another guy with that guy that's saying shit to you about what they're going to do, then you have no chance. So you got to pick up the phone and call. And so she made that call, but any other situation, I think she could get out of it. Do you think that was Rex in the room with her? Do you think there was another guy there? Do you think that he had help with all of those bodies, because there's so many of them in that area and those remains, and that he went down to Atlantic City and he was at those strip clubs. He was at those bars. He was that big guy throwing back all the drinks, and yet they're playing the murders of the sex workers that worked in and around that area, because they're a lot like the four or the Gilgo four that are part of the 10 or 11 bodies or remains in and around Gilgo Beach, two different counties. And I said before, if they're in two different counties, then they got two different jurisdictions. And that was smart, at least to begin with, because they were just trying to mess with the cops and have them mess with each other. I always thought that was smart, but not smart enough to not get caught, which Rex did. So on this episode, I'm out. But have they ever talked about that before? The reason why she made that call, and I'm saying that it's because of those two guys being there. She doesn't dial it any other way. Well, maybe we'll learn more about Atlantic City. It's definitely an interesting case. But for now, I'm out. I have more for you in forthcoming episodes. You can check me out also on Verdict Friday, which is a video podcast every Friday that I do as a wrap-up, and of course on Crime Network. So thanks for joining me today. I'll see you next time. Good night.